Good morning, early birds. You've caught the Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Climate change impacts at Glacier National Park, consequences for an embattled whitefish ministry, and why child vaccinations for diseases like polio and hepatitis B have gone down during the pandemic. It's Monday, May 25th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. An outbreak of COVID-19 in western Montana is tied to an exclusive golf and country club developed by financial executive Charles Schwab. Stock Farm Club general manager Steve Buck says the eight people who tested positive for COVID-19 in Ravalli County are employees of the club near Hamilton. One person had been hospitalized and seven others remained in isolation on Saturday. The health department has said it was believed the first person who tested positive had contracted the respiratory virus outside the county. Aquatic insects living at high elevations in Glacier National Park may be more resilient to impacts brought by climate change than once thought, according to a recent study. But Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports various species populations are still expected to decline and potentially go extinct.
U.S. Geological Survey research aquatic ecologist Clint Mulfield and his team examined data dating back to the Little Ice Age in 1850, showing that glacial mass has declined 73% around Glacier National Park. That's leading to a decline in suitable habitat for rare insects, including the West Glacier and meltwater Lednian stoneflies. Researchers at the USGS have been collecting data over the past 10 years on these species, some of which only live around Glacier. They were once thought to be dependent on the streams created from glacial meltwater, but Mulfield's team's latest findings show these species also live in cold water streams fed by snowfields and underground springs.
And so they were found in areas that didn't have glaciers at the end of the last Little Ice Age. They were found in areas that glaciers have disappeared since the last Little Ice Age. And they were also found in areas that where glaciers have greatly diminished.
That means they have more habitat options than previously thought, which is good news. But Mulfield says these insects are still expected to lose up to 80% of their habitat by the end of the century. He says this family of insects is likely the canary in the coal mine for the impacts climate change will bring to mountain ecosystems in the northern Rocky Mountains. But Mulfield says there's a lot we don't know about their functions in the larger ecosystem, and in turn, the impact their decline will have.
What are the consequences of some of these changes in terms of, extirpations of species on nutrient cycling and food for higher organisms like fish or even birds?
Those are questions Mulfield hopes future studies will answer. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Several days after Yellowstone National Park reopened its two Wyoming entrances to visitors, the park lifted the gates at its north and northeastern Montana entrances for through traffic only. Rachel Kramer reports it may provide relief for some business owners during Memorial Day weekend.
While Yellowstone's entrances at Gardner and Cook City Silver Gate remain closed to visitors, cars this week were allowed through to reach the remote towns that rely on summer tourism. People are not allowed to stop and recreate in the park on their way to the gateway communities. Those who do may be cited.
I was a little worried about the park being closed because people couldn't get here.
That's Scott Denniston, owner of Beartooth Cafe in Cook City. Denniston says he reopens his seasonal business each year on the Friday before Memorial Day. Despite the uncertainty brought on by COVID-19, Denniston says he decided to hope for the best and stick to his planned reopening date.
We just had quite a few tables come in just between 12 and 1. So, about standard for this time of year.
Denniston says he has a positive outlook for the months ahead, but he says he may have to cut back on employees if the cafe doesn't get its normal summer traffic. Some businesses, like the Elkhorn Lodge, will remain closed until Yellowstone allows visitation in the northern part of the park. Yellowstone officials say they are working with Montana Governor Steve Bullock to determine when that might be. Bullock has said he wouldn't consider reopening until June 1st. While Wyoming recently lifted a two-week self-quarantine order for out-of-state visitors, Montana's traveler restrictions remain in effect until June 1st, when the state is slated to move into phase two of the governor's reopening plan. After a two-month closure due to COVID-19, Yellowstone reopened its two Wyoming entrances on May 18th for day use only. Visitation has been limited to the southern loop of the park. A Yellowstone press release Thursday said the traffic volume during the first 3 days of the partial reopening was less than 20% of the normal volume this time of year. Park Superintendent Cam Shawley said in the press release he expects visitation to go up significantly in the coming weeks. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
The Montana Department of Labor and Industry has found that an embattled whitefish ministry violated state law by asking its workers to volunteer much of their time serving up food at affiliated burger restaurants. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports that Potter's Field Ministries now owes six workers a combined $150,000.
The state determined the workers at Potter's Field's Mudman Burgers restaurants, labeled as volunteers and interns, are owed back pay. The rulings from earlier this month say agreements workers signed asking them to work 60-plus hour work weeks for as little as $300 per month violated labor laws. The Labor Department's decisions apply to six of the workers who filed wage complaints against the ministry. A seventh claim was determined to have no merit. Other wage claims were filed outside of the statute of limitations. Connor Strong is one of the former Mudman Burger workers. He feels validated by the Labor Department ruling.
And now we have a third party stepping in as well that's not just us or victims or people who have been through Potter's Field, but, you know, is the government, the state government of Montana saying, hey, this is wrong. You're responsible. You're guilty, you know. So that it's really reassuring.
Labor and Industry ruled that Potter's Field will need to pay roughly $150,000 in past due wages and penalties. Potter's Field in-house legal counsel Sharon DeMiro told MTPR the ministry plans to submit new information on the claims as part of a request for the Labor Department to reduce the payout decision. Once the department issues its decision on that request, Potter's Field will be able to formally appeal. Outside of a recently reopened and now for-profit Mudman Burgers in Columbia Falls Friday, a handful of protesters stood holding signs, reading Never Fund a Cult and Workers Drug Through Mud. Protesters are upset the restaurant has reopened. Potter's Field and its three popular burger restaurants in the Flathead Valley closed down after separate worker allegations of psychological and emotional abuse were made against ministry leaders Mike and Pam Rozelle, allegations they have denied via a spokesperson. Those allegations were reported by Montana Public Radio through interviews with former workers, but were not a part of complaints to the state labor department. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
A Montana judge has temporarily suspended a state law that says absentee ballots must be received in a county election office by 8 p.m. on Election Day in order to be counted. District Judge Donald Harris ruled Friday that all absentee ballots postmarked on or before this year's June 2nd primary day shall be counted as long as they are received by the Monday following Election Day. The ruling came in a challenge by Democratic groups. Harris said the disparity and how long it takes the U.S. Postal Service to deliver a mailed ballot is a significant burden to absentee voters. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say the number of vaccines for diseases like polio and hepatitis B being given to children has fallen dramatically during the coronavirus pandemic. Public health departments and providers in Montana say they are seeing the same decline and are concerned it could lead to an outbreak of a vaccine-preventable disease, pulling resources away from the COVID-19 response. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
The CDC says the number of childhood vaccine orders through a program that provides free immunizations to uninsured children has seen a significant decline since states issued stay-at-home orders in mid-March. The Vaccines for Children program immunizes about half of the children under 5 in the U.S., while Montana has had one of the lowest COVID-19 case rates in the country. Public health officials like Cindy Farr say the state is no exception. She says visits to the Missoula City County Health Department's immunization clinic have remained low, even as the state opens up.
Well, I can tell you that our immunization clinic used to see a steady flow of traffic and enough to keep 3 nurses busy all day. And at this point, we've got only 1 nurse working, and we're only getting maybe half a dozen people a day coming in.
County health departments, big and small, as well as private providers across the state, say they're seeing the same thing. The Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services says it's also seen a drop in vaccine orders. Public health officials hope that as the state eases social distancing directives, families will get their kids caught up on their vaccines. The state health department is conducting a statewide survey to get an idea of the capacity to get kids caught up. Public health officials say even a short-term decline in vaccine rates is concerning in a state like Montana, which has persistently fallen below the 90% mark needed to gain herd immunity against diseases like measles. The state has seen outbreaks in recent years of mumps and pertussis, which broke out in Missoula's school district last year. Farr says that's the last thing the health department needs as it's trying to focus its attention on COVID-19.
You know, we are pretty taxed on resources right now, and so trying to make sure that everyone is well cared for and, you know, we were able to get the contact investigation and contact tracing done for 2 outbreaks and not just 1. Is also concerning.
By and large, state and county health officials expect most parents will get their kids caught up on their vaccines in the coming months. But there's concern the coronavirus pandemic could leave lasting marks on Montana's vaccination rates. Janice Fordham is a physician at Laurel Family Medicine, about 20 minutes from Billings.
But absolutely, I think there's a concern of people not finishing series, a 3-part series and not getting the last one, so not getting full immunity, or never getting an immunization series in the first place. I think we do have a fear of all of that.
And then there's concern about potentially long-lasting economic barriers created by the pandemic. Some families are facing job loss and as a result might have no medical insurance, or they might not be able to afford transportation to an immunization clinic. Sophia Newcomer is an assistant professor of epidemiology at the University of Montana. In early April, she received funding for research looking at barriers to early childhood vaccines in Montana, including why some parents are hesitant about getting their kids vaccinated.
And so, you know, we're looking at data from before the pandemic, but in some ways it might be able to serve as a baseline for what vaccine coverage and barriers to vaccination looked like before COVID-19.
Newcomer hopes to adapt her work to look at data during and after the coronavirus pandemic to measure its long-term impacts. In the meantime, providers and public health officials are trying to get the word out that they're open for appointments, and in some cases, walk-ins. Again, Farr with the Missoula City County Health Department.
I know that we're doing everything we can here to make it a safe experience, and the medical clinics that we work with are too. So just if you're concerned about it as a parent, please call your provider and talk to them about your concerns.
Many providers and public health departments are making reminder calls to parents with children overdue for vaccines. They also want Montana's parents to make the call, even if they don't have insurance for their children. Many private doctors and public health departments are able to offer free vaccines to uninsured children. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.